All right, thank you very much. My name is Jason DeCoff. I'm an associate professor with Tennessee State University, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the work we've been doing over the past couple years related to this project. To start off with, just a very brief description of switchgrass for those that don't know. It's an original member of the tallgrass prairie, so it's a native species to the U.S. It also is a perennial that produces a lot of biomass, and it also has a deep root system. It's a C4 plant, and so it's able to survive pretty well in marginal soils with low fertility and also under dry drought-type conditions. We're looking at it in Tennessee because you can see from this estimate, model estimate, a lot of the higher yields are going to be found in those areas, and the higher yields are identified by the dark blue color. Anywhere, according to this model, anywhere up to 23 megagrams per hectare. And so we're also looking at biochar because biochar, of course, is an end product of either the gasification or the pyrolysis processes to produce energy. It also has good potential as a soil amendment because it provides a number of different attributes to improve soil health. It also is a good way of potentially storing carbon in the soil, and it produces a lot of surface area for microbial activity. And so in our study, we planted some Alamo cultivar switchgrass, which is a lowland cultivar, in 2012, and we separated the field into four blocks that you see facing away from the screen. And then each block was separated into eight plots, so we had eight different treatments, and the individual plots were about 15.5 square meters. We applied biochar in 2014, so we had planted in 2012, so 2 years later the switchgrass fields were established. And so then we applied the biochar at that point. The biochar was applied to half of the plots, and so the other half were essentially a control. And we applied the biochar at 9 megagrams per hectare. The biochar we used was produced by Cool Planet from pine at 500 degrees C. And then after we applied the biochar, we applied nitrogen at four different rates to all of the plots, depending upon the randomization. So there were plots that received biochar and also one of these rates of nitrogen, and then there were other plots that did not receive biochar but received one of these nitrogen rates. The nitrogen was applied as ammonium nitrate. We basically solubilized it in water and then applied it the way you see here. We applied the nitrogen in both 2014 and 2015. The biochar we only applied 1 year, which was the first year in 2014. And then we harvested at the end of the season in December of both years using the sickle bar mower that you see here. We harvested a 3 square meter swath through the center of each plot, and we measured, of course, the total biomass that was harvested, and then we also took a subsample for other analysis. We looked at a number of different things with the soil, of course, the any changes in soil carbon, total nitrogen, and ammonium. And then also we sent some samples off to Cornell in 2016 to look at a number of different soil health characteristics. And then also from the subsamples that we acquired in the field, we looked at the plant nitrogen and carbon. So as far as the results go, first thing we looked at the total soil carbon. And so you can see there was a significant increase in the total carbon between 2014 and 2015, and that's what we were hoping for. 2014 was before the application, and then, of course, 2015 and 2016 is after. And so this was important because if you saw how we applied it to the surface, weren't able to incorporate it into the soil because we already had standing plants. And so, you know, there was concern that, you know, it might not, you know, stay there and it might get, you know, blown away or removed. But we applied it at a time when the plants were about a foot tall. So that definitely helped to reduce any loss that we might have. So we saw an increase, like I said, in carbon for the biochar plots only, and the control plots stayed the same. With nitrogen, we didn't really see any significant effects based on either ammonium, which I've got shown here for the different rates. These are the plots that had biochar added, but we also didn't see any significant differences for those plots that did not have biochar. And there were also no significant differences based on the amount of nitrogen that was applied. Of course, we were hoping to see some increases possibly due to the amendments of biochar and nitrogen, but we didn't see those as of yet. So with our soil health analyses, first off, we've got active carbon. So this is the permanganate extraction, and we saw an increase with biochar for the four different treatments that we looked at, but unfortunately these were not significant. With wet aggregate stability, we don't really see any major trends based on biochar with nitrogen, it seems there may have been a decrease, but again, as with the active carbon, there were no significant differences between the treatments. For available water capacity, you see a trend with biochar. The available water capacity decreased, and it increased with nitrogen on a numerical basis. But again, based on statistics, there were no major significant differences. And then with soil respiration, we saw numerical increases with biochar, but again, if you notice the trend, they were not significantly different. And then lastly, with protein, we saw an increase with biochar, but no significant difference with that as either. With plant nitrogen, so these are from the subsamples that we collected at harvest. Looking at the different, this was in 2014, at the end of 2014, so the first harvest period. There's not really any trends based on biochar or nitrogen. And the same thing for 2015 after the harvest. So this is total nitrogen again. And then also for 2016, still we're not really seeing any major differences between biochar in our control plots or with the addition of different rates of nitrogen fertilizer. Okay, so actually with this one, so here we're talking about plant carbon. We did see a significant relationship for our control plots and plant carbon as nitrogen rate increased. There was a significant increase in the carbon of the plant. And so this was for 2014. For 2015, we actually saw the opposite occur, where we saw a significant interaction with the nitrogen rate for the biochar plots and not for the control plots. As far as yield goes, in 2014, so the first harvest, we saw a significant increase in the yield for the control plots with nitrogen rate. We see, you know, maybe a trend there for biochar, but it's hard to tell. There was no significant differences between those different rates. But then in 2015, we don't see any significant differences across the different rates with or without biochar. And the same thing for our last yield in 2016. And so, We had a lot of questions, of course. We were hoping that, biochar would provide some of that amendment effect, as well as the different rates of nitrogen that we were applying. But a couple of reasons why we might not have seen an effect due to biochar may be caused by the shorter time period that we were looking at this project. So a lot of times there's an aging process that biochar goes through where functional groups are created, and so those functional groups go a long way to providing binding sites for our nutrients that we're adding. Also, the soil pH may have been a factor, because our soils are anywhere between pH of 5.5 and 6, and so they're acidic soils. They're okay for growing switchgrass. But as far as the biochar, you know, a pH-dependent, with pH-dependent binding sites, you know, that lower pH is going to reduce the amount of sites where we could bind something like ammonium. And so, obviously, one of the things that we're going to look at in this next year is to apply some lime to increase the overall pH and see if we see any effects. We saw a little significant effect due to nitrogen rates, and this may have been caused by other limiting factors like potassium. So our soils are testing low for potassium based on a malic 1 extract. Even though we've been applying potassium at the recommended rates, they're still coming out low. The potassium has increased significantly over time, but it's still considered low, and so if that's one of the factors, then that might be why we're not seeing as much of an effect due to the different nitrogen rates that we've imposed. So that's basically it. I am open to any sort of questions or comments that you might have. Yeah, it was, I believe it was 9 megagrams per hectare.
Okay. And then going to your soil carbon difference, you showed obviously to the biochar.
Sure.
Did you make any attempt to back calculate, or again, it's pretty hard to separate biochar from the soil prior to doing measurement?
Right.
To see, I mean, you called it soil carbon change.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I definitely think it's due to the biochar that was added, and that I mean, we haven't done anything specifically to directly measure that, but I think based on you know, the fact that we did add a good deal of carbon, it would make sense that you're going to see that in the soil the following year, especially when some of our the other things that we looked at didn't have as great of a change. So I think definitely the carbon increase was due to the biochar itself, which had carbon that we were adding. Yeah.
My question is, what is your level of variation? You know, you see these, you know, because some of those differences are really big, or surprised that.
Yeah, so we had some variation out in the field based on the data that we collected. But I think, like I said, with being able to provide, you know, increased pH or wait a little bit longer, we might see the actual effects of some of those things end up being greater than the variation that you know we just have as a normal part of those plots.